from KDNK Community Access Radio in Carbondale, Colorado, in the United States. This is program number 67 of the Tactile Traveler, empowering blind and low vision people to explore the world and helping our sighted friends see the world in a new way. I'm Nick Eisenberg. When blind people go places, we don't experience them like our sighted friends. We don't see beautiful mountains or romantic sunsets. The goal of this program is to identify and even create experiences that are more meaningful or just more fun for us and for our sighted traveling companions. Frequently, as people lose their eyesight, they become more and more isolated. The Tactile Traveler hopes to empower people not only to go literally around the world, but around the block to new adventures in their lives. Blind ranges from people who are visually impaired, and glasses and contact lenses no longer help them to lead a normal life, to people like me, who are totally blind, to sighted parents who have a blind child, blind parents who have sighted children, and blind parents with blind children, and people of all ages, interests, and physical abilities. On today's program, Breaking Blind: How Independent Blind People Solve Life's Problems. There may be a way for you to get a low vision driver's license, even if you failed the driver's license eye test. Sensational blackboards: how blind people can show their ideas to sighted and other blind people by creative tactile drawings. And an update on Glide: if you're sighted or blind and wonder how independent blind people do things, there's an easy way to find out by watching or listening to a series of videos called Breaking Blind, produced by Maureen Neufeld. Maureen is Director of Student Services at the Colorado Center for the Blind in Littleton, Colorado, here in the United States. When she made the videos, she was a home management instructor at the center. In that job, she taught blind students how to cook and clean and other skills needed to live independently.
What I wanted to really come out of these videos was for people just to understand that blind people do all the day-to-day things that everybody does in the world, whether that's working, going to school, raising kids, traveling to new places, going on vacation, making dinner, watching movies, like everything, and that we just do things differently. It's not that we can't do them or that it's amazing. It's just that we do them a little different, and that just kind of wanted to break down some of those stereotypes and some of those barriers that exist for us as people with disabilities. I have done videos on how blind people cook. So I've done some of my favorite recipes, like my barbecue pulled chicken, hummus, and tomato soup. I've done videos on how a blind person crosses the street, how a blind person uses an elevator, how a blind person uses a computer, how a blind person uses an iPhone, all kinds of things like that.
Maureen immediately found that she tapped into a huge unmet need.
I was going to a NFB convention and my dress had black and silver sparkles on it, so I needed the silver sparkly eyeshadow. So in an emergency situation, I went to Target.
911.
Yeah, and I got this. And it goes on really heavy, so it took me kind of a while to learn to use it, and I'm still really not comfortable with the really dark one yet.
Well, your eyes look amazing.
Her first video was Blind Makeup Perfection, Maureen putting on makeup to go out on New Year's Eve.
My very first video is how a blind person puts on makeup, and that one got, I think, like 50 or 60,000 views, and that's how I got a lot of subscribers right in the beginning. I think now I sit somewhere around 10,000 to 15,000 subscribers.
It was 15,000 subscribers.
Let it straighten out. The wheel will straighten out by itself.
Go straight.
Then you're going to go straight.
Yeah. Nice.
You can put some gas.
A little bit to the right.
Oh, that's some gas.
All right, now cut to the left. All the way like we did before.
Okay.
All right, more to the left. Okay, you're all right.
A little frisky here.
That's so fun.
Okay.
Maureen even made a video on how blind people drive. There are programs that give blind people the opportunity to experience driving under extremely controlled circumstances in an empty parking lot or even on a racetrack at low speeds. Maureen has received feedback from around the world on how her videos have helped people.
Gotten a lot of feedback from my videos, a lot of positive feedback. A lot of people have come to the center as a result of watching my videos. I've run into people at national conventions of the National Federation of the Blind who have stopped me and seen my videos, and I've really appreciated them. I've been able to connect from people around the world that have contacted me on Facebook and Facebook Messenger, commenting about my videos and just asking questions about how I do things and advice and things like that. So it was a really cool journey. And I would love to do them again. And I've thought about restarting them again. And obviously having an additional perspective as being a blind parent now that Logan is 6 and a half.
Evan Starnes helped with this story. You're listening to The Tactile Traveler, empowering blind and low vision people to explore the world and helping our sighted friends see the world in a new way. I'm Nick Eisenberg. In the last story, Maureen Neufeld talked about what it's like in one of her videos to experience driving as a totally blind driver under very, very restricted circumstances. There is a possibility for people with low vision to get a driver's license even if they failed the driver's test. The following story first aired on program number 9. Flunking the eye exam at your local motor vehicle bureau doesn't mean that you have to give up driving or can't become a beginning driver. The first thing to do is to see if your ophthalmologist or optometrist will just fill out a form saying that you see well enough to drive with or without restrictions. If they don't feel you see well enough to drive, they have another way to get you behind the wheel. All 50 states and Washington, D.C., and driving authorities in some other countries have a system for licensing drivers who see worse than 20/40 corrected in their best eye. The first thing to do is to see if your ophthalmologist or optometrist will just fill out a form saying that you see well enough to drive with or without restriction. They don't feel you see well enough to drive. There's another way to get you behind the wheel. It's a low vision driver's license. Requirements vary widely from state to state. Some states require special training, which might require the driver to wear special glasses called bioptics, which we'll describe in a moment. Some states say the bioptics can only magnify up to 300%, while other states say the bioptics can magnify up to 450%. And then you might need special training for varying numbers of hours, or you might not need any.
And we have 51 different sets of rules regarding vision and driving. And that is because there has been no study, nor will there ever be a study, that will delineate the precise amount of vision, both acuity and visual field, in order to be a safe driver. It is simply too complex, and driving is too complex. And so all of the rules and regulations that the DMVs have are pretty much really not based on any science. So every state is completely different. These numbers make no sense whatsoever. As long as a person has one eye and can see well enough to be a safe driver, all of these other numbers of you have to have this level in order to, if the other eye has that level, they make no sense. My opinion, personally, as a low vision optometrist, when a patient comes in and wants to renew or to obtain a driver's license, I look at the requirements for the state that they're requesting, and I do everything in my power to try and get them past the vision requirement. Now, that does not give them a license. It gives them the right to show DMV whether they can be a safe driver or not. So when I fill out a vision report form here in California that says their vision is better than 20/200 in their better eye, they can at least obtain a driving test, behind the wheel test, to see if they can be a safe driver. If they can be, wonderful, and if they cannot be, well, that's the way it is. But I think virtually everybody who wants to attempt to have a license ought to be at least given the opportunity to take the drive test and show whether they're a safe driver or not.
Dr. Richard Schuldiner, low vision optometrist and president of the International Academy of Low Vision Specialists. Dr. Schuldiner says, many, but not all, patients require bioptic glasses.
Some states do allow bioptic telescope glasses. A bioptic is a telescope located high on a pair of glasses so that when you are driving, you're looking through a regular lens, but the telescope is available by dipping your chin down a little bit and looking through the top of the lens and magnifying street signs and road signs and traffic lights so you can see them better.
After a doctor certifies that you see well enough to get a low vision driver's learning permit, you need to get that permit from your local driver's license office, which may have never issued one in the past. So don't be surprised if it takes many visits with lots of calls to supervisor to see how they handle it. Depending on the state, you might need low vision driver's training, which will probably start with an evaluation of all the skills you need for driving. Frank Butel.
My title would be a driver rehabilitation specialist, and I've been in business since 1986. My family's been doing this since 1946. I'm current president of the Driving School Association of California, owner-operator of NCAP Driver Training, and California Driver Rehabilitation.
Comprehensive eval is important because we see other things in the comprehensive eval. Someone could be borderline dementia. They could have cognitive issues that are going to affect your driving. They could have poor reaction time, poor lead time. So there's a lot to it. Very important, if you're going to drive, to have a comprehensive driving evaluation done. I know there are some states that don't have facilities out there like ours, but I highly recommend a driver rehabilitation specialist do a proper evaluation, which consists of a clinical assessment and a behind the wheel. There are some facilities that only do the clinical and they don't do the behind the wheel. So you want someone who's going to be able to do both. So when we get a low vision person, we first see what they can see without using the bioptics. We assess them. Then we have them wear the bioptics, and then we train them, or we actually assess them with the bioptics to see what they can see. And then we go into an explanation of how to use the bioptics. Some do very well. Some do very well. The thing is they have to know what their limitations are. So they might not drive at night. They might not drive on the freeway, and sometimes glare hurts them. So lighting or setting, they might not drive either. So there's certain times of the day, and there's other tricks to do. What I do for someone who has issues with glare, a lot of times I'll recommend putting a carpet kit on their dashboard to eliminate the glare coming off the dashboard, which could be devastating to someone that has low vision.
Marilyn Mancini lives 6 miles from the world-renowned ski resort of Crested Butte, Colorado. She uses her low-vision driving license to get to her job as a clerk in the clothing department of a store.
Driving is real important because we live out in the country, and if I want to go into town, I need to drive in.
Like many low-vision drivers, She uses good sense in addition to her driver's license.
Those are my own personal limits. The license bureau says no driving at night, and that's the only limitation. I could drive to Carbondale, but, you know, I am married, so I do have a husband. If I didn't have my husband, I probably would be driving more places, but I would not drive in heavy traffic, even though I'm probably capable of it.
Marilyn Mancini says she does take turns driving on long trips, relieving her husband when they're on interstates with low traffic. She also says she uses her bioptic glasses when she's a passenger and on hikes. Dr. Schulneiner says he made a pair of bioptic glasses for himself that he uses at football and baseball games instead of binoculars. Bioptic glasses in low vision driving school can be expensive. Bioptic glasses cost from $2,500 to $5,000. And the evaluation for low vision driving school can run from $550 to $950, plus the cost of driver training. And when you're done, you still might not be a safe enough driver to get a low vision license. Your local State Department of Vocational Rehabilitation might be able to help you with the cost of getting a low vision license if you need it to get to work or for work. Lorraine Hutchinson helped with this story. You're listening to The Tactile Traveler, empowering blind and low vision people to explore the world and helping our sighted friends see the world in a new way. I'm Nick Eisenberg. Whether blind or sighted, we all have lots of good ideas. Frequently, we just can't explain them. We have to show them. And there are ways for blind people to do that. Whether it's freehand drawings like art or highly technical drawings by engineers, architects, and designers. One way is sophisticated computer programs and computer accessories. Another is by using a simple tactile tool designed by tactile artist and tactile art teacher at the Colorado Center for the Blind, Ann Cunningham, called a sensational blackboard. It's called sensational because blind people use their sense of touch when they use it. It's a simple drawing board, like used by draftsmen and draftswomen, with a rubber surface attached to it. The rubber surface is just the right amount of soft that if you put a piece of paper on it and write on the paper with a ballpoint pen, the pen presses into the paper enough that a blind or low vision person can feel the drawing without even having to turn the paper over. At the same time, the ballpoint pen fills the drawing with ink so sighted people can see it. It can be used with regular drafting tools like T-squares and triangles for precision drawing. It also makes it possible for blind people to share their ideas with other blind people. Ann taught workshops for several summers at the National Federation of the Blind headquarters in Baltimore, Maryland, for blind and low vision high school students and recent graduates on how to use the sensational blackboard so they can use it if they go into fields like engineering or explore if they'd like to go in the technical fields. They not only get hands-on experience designing, they build what they design.
They certainly have been used by students who are in the National Federation of the Blind Engineering Quotient Summer Program. We had 30 students. We had five-year program, and the students would come in for 2 or 3 weeks. We would have really big projects for the students to engage in. My favorite was 1 year we were making boats, and we would make the boats out of PVC pipe with X number of different kinds of connectors, and the students would make the hull of their boat with that, the skeleton, and then they would wrap the hull with a blue tarp, blue plastic tarps, and tape them all on. And then we had a board plywood board for them to slip into the bottom of the boat. Then we could, oh, and they also had to make paddles because we took them out on the Chesapeake Bay and had races between the students. So it was really fun. As part of the requirements for this program, the students needed to learn how to draw their ideas on paper. That's the ideation step of engineering, so that they could discuss their ideas with their teammates. And then as a deliverable for the end of the session, they needed to do a multi-view drawing or an orthoscopic projection of the boat. So they had to draw a side view and a top view and any other views that might have been critical for understanding how it was that they built their boat. Kids would have two people in the boat and they were racing them. That was really fun. We also had one student who was deafblind and he had an intervener, someone who is able to communicate with him through tactile sign language. But he was so smart and so fun to be around. And he was doing all the assignments that the other students were. I watched him take the measurements from his boat. He was making the notes that he would note the measurements. And he got back to his desk to draw orthographic projection. He took the measurements and made them into a picture that was spot on.
When a sighted person draws something, they automatically see what they've drawn and where they want to add the next part of their creation. The sensational drawing board makes it possible for the blind creator to use their free hand to figure out what they've already done and where to go next. The drawing boards come in lots of different sizes, from large enough for drafting to pocket-sized boards that can fit in a pocket or purse. You constantly hear about inventions that were originally conceived in a restaurant and drawn on the back of a napkin. Now blind people can put that napkin on their pocket-sized drawing board and save their concepts too. For more information, go to sensationalbooks.com. That's sensationalbooks.com. You're listening to The Tactile Traveler, empowering blind and low-vision people to explore the world and helping our sighted friends see the world in a new way. I'm Nick Eisenberg. On program number 65, I described testing a glide, a mobility device that might replace white canes and guide dogs for many people who are blind or have low vision. It's kind of like an upright vacuum cleaner with no bag and two much bigger wheels, with 3D cameras and sensors on it. The user pushes it, but it determines where it will go, avoiding obstacles and hazards like stairs and stops at curbs. When production models become available, you'll be able to tell it where you want it to go, and it will direct you there. At the time I tested it, Glidance, the manufacturer, said that Glide guidance devices will be available at the end of this year. Since then, Amos Miller, president and CEO of Glidance Incorporated, sent out an email to people who have tested a Glide, saying that the availability of Glide devices has been delayed until the spring of 2026. Based on insights from a year of in-person demo days and alpha testing, Amos Miller said in his email, "We made the strategic decision to redesign the entire chassis, making Glide even more durable, resilient, and ready for real-world use. Although this redesign set us back a few months, it was a necessary and thoughtful decision, one we're excited about, knowing it will pay off in the long term by ensuring that every Glide will confidently handle the toughest environments, withstand daily wear and tear, and remain sturdy, low maintenance, and easy to repair." You're listening to The Tactile Traveler, empowering blind and low vision people to explore the world, and helping our sighted friends see the world in a new way. I'm Nick Eisenberg. Why, it's my talking scale, reminding us that we'd like you to weigh in on how we're doing. Please let us know by sending an email to thetactiletraveler@gmail.com. We spell Traveler the American way, with one L. We'd also like to hear your story ideas from all over the world. Please send us an email with story ideas in the subject line to thetactiletraveler@gmail.com. Transcripts of this program are available for our deaf listeners by searching The Tactile Traveler in any search engine. This program is also being broadcast on Aftersight, formerly the Audio Information Network of Colorado, and on audio information networks in additional states. It's also available by typing The Tactile Traveler into any search engine, and available wherever you get podcasts, and by asking your smart speaker to play the podcast, The Tactile Traveler. We'd like to thank the following people and organizations that help make today's program possible. Be My Eyes Microsoft Accessibility Tech Support, Apple Accessibility Tech Support, Pat Conroe, Lorraine Hutchinson, Debbie O'Leary, Sarah Williams, Sophia Williams, Cody Lee, Kaylee Romero, Evan Stearns, and Raleigh Burley. This has been The Tactile Traveler, empowering blind and low vision people to explore the world and helping our sighted friends see the world in a new way. This is a production of KDNK Community Access Radio, Carbondale, Colorado.